This morning we are finishing our series on the Word of God, and we are in our study this last month. We've been looking at the importance of God's Word, how it reads us, how we read it, how God uses His precious Word to speak both prophetically as well just practically into our lives. And this incredible book that we bring to church, or we have several of copies inside our home, is both historical as well as factual. But the greatest thing that we need to understand about the Word of God is the Word of God is God's mind, His thoughts, His purpose, His plan, and His will for mankind. In these 66 books, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is God speaking into our lives. It's His voice. It's our ears to His lips. He actually gives us a plan for action. He tells us what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. And it is God's Word that pierces the heart of even an atheist. So this morning, I want us to answer two questions. And these are the questions. How should we study the Word of God? That's question number one. And then why should we study the Word of God? How should we study the Word of God, and why should we study the Word of God? So let's get started. How should we study the Bible? Well, I believe that the best method is inductive Bible reading or inductive Bible study. That's the way that you get the most out of reading God's Word. Well, people say, well, what is inductive Bible study? Well, it is a three-step approach to reading the Bible. First step is observation. When you read the Word of God, you need to look at it in an observation sort of way. What does the text say? I would suggest that you need to train yourself as Christ followers this morning to ask yourself six questions while you are reading God's Word. And these are the six questions: who, what, when, where, why, how. Write those down. Who, what, when, where, why, how. These are questions that you need to ask yourself while you're reading the Scriptures. Who is it written to? What does it mean to be involved in this text? When was it written? Where? The geographic location, because sometimes that was pretty important in the time of the Word. Why was it written? And how does it apply to my life? See, if we look at the observation, what does the text say, and we ask ourselves those six questions, we begin the journey of understanding what the Word of God, what His Word to us, is really important. The second thing is interpretation. What does the text mean? Interpretation. What does the text mean? As we're reading the Word of God, we need to look for the main or the single meaning in that passage. In your interpretation, however, make sure you don't add to the interpretation. Rather, let the Word of God be the Word of God. Let it be literally read. Read it for what it is: God's voice speaking to you. I tell you, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of talking, a lot of clamor, a lot of voices out there. If we truly want to discern the will of God for our lives, we need to be in the Word of God, interpreting what the Bible says to me personally, reading the Word literally, and letting God's voice speak through His Word. And then the third point is application. How does the meaning of the text apply to my life? I think that's where we're going to find our greatest joy. That's where we're going to find our greatest opportunities, is when we finally realize that the Bible is not historical only, and it's just not factual only. It actually is God's voice speaking to each and every one of us, speaking to me, speaking to you, speaking to us. So inductive Bible study, really, with that three-prong approach, really will help you understand what you're doing. Observation, interpretation, and application is where we begin this journey of faith. So that's how we read the Bible, and we can go further into it as we continue on growing in our faith through discipleship. But why should we read the Word of God? That's the question that I want to answer this morning. Why should we as Christ followers, or even non-Christ followers, seekers, read the Word of God? There's 5 points that I have on the outline in the back of your bulletin that I want to highlight that you can fill in as you're looking at why you should read the Word of God. But I think it's important as we look at this that we kind of get a base of our Scripture this morning. And we're going to get our base of our Scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And it says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for good work." So we're going to look at that this morning, and we're going to see why is it so important for us to read God's Word. Point number one, the Word of God is infallible. The Word of God is infallible. There is no error in God's Word. It is perfect from beginning to end. The law of the Lord is perfect concerning our soul. The testimony of our Lord is not only infallible, it's inerrant and it's incapable of being wrong. I tell you, I think nowadays in our culture, we've got a lot of people that don't believe that. We got a lot of people even inside the pews and chairs of churches in America that don't believe that the Word of God is infallible. But I want to go on record this morning and tell you, the Word of God is infallible. What we have here in these 66 books of the Bible are for our benefit. It's for our use. And I will go and stake my life that this Word is infallible. It is God's voice to our ears how to be all that He has for us in our lives. So this morning, we need to understand that. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6 says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar." The purity of His Word. Nothing needs to be added to it. God warns us not to misuse or misrepresent His Scripture. And I'll tell you, as I said earlier, we live in a day and age of imperfection and inconsistencies. But what we need to do in reading the Word of God is to understand that it is incapable of being wrong. I'll tell you, when my grandmother was alive, we called her Pappy. She made my all-time favorite cake. Now, you may be surprised if you know me and you know how much I hate vegetables. My all-time favorite cake is carrot cake. Go figure. All throughout my life, one of my favorite cakes, because Grandma made it just the way she did, was carrot cake with cream cheese frosting, of course. But that basic, pure and simple recipe just resonated right with my palate. I loved it. I hated vegetables, but loved my grandma's carrot cake. Hands down, it was perfection to my taste buds. But over the years, Grandma shared that recipe with other people, family members as well as friends alike. And you know what they did? They polluted my grandmother's cake. They added things like raisins. Ew. Pineapple. Ugh. And odd nuts that ought not to be in Grandma's carrot cake. Certain nuts that I thought, what in the world did you do? You ruined something that was so basic, pure, and simple by adding something to it. Now, I'm not comparing my grandmother's carrot cake to the Word of God, but it has got some analogies to it. The Word of God is so basic for the way in which we need to live our lives. It's so pure in its understanding of taking the Word into our hearts, and even simple enough for a child to understand that God loves them and has a plan for their lives. His Word, the Bible, speaks into our souls and changes our lives from the inside out. So the Word of God is infallible. It's faultless. It's inerrant. It's perfect. The second thing is the Word of God is complete. The Bible does not need any other chapters or verses. It is complete from beginning to the end. I think so many times in a day and age with there's Bible illiteracy, we get confused because there are so many people out there that claim the Word of God, that claims Jesus as salvation, and yet there's a degree of truth that's just off one degree. In fact, this morning, if you Google the word the Bible, in its top 25, you are going to see a website that's called discovermormon.org. If you put in Google the Bible, you will see discovermormon.org. And I think so many people say, well, what's wrong with people that talk about God or talk about parts of the Bible or even talk about Jesus? I know that somehow people call it a cult, but I have no idea why it's a cult. Well, this morning I'm going to explain to you what the difference between just being a pure Bible reader and reading through the eyes of a cult. Because I think so many times with Bible illiteracy happening in the United States, we need to understand why we need to read the Bible in its purest sense and understand that God's Word is complete. As Christ followers, how we read the Bible is like this. We just open up the Word of God and we read it. And we go back to induction Bible study where we're allowing the application, we're allowing the interpretation, we're allowing those things to speak into our lives, and we're just reading the Word of God. Even seekers, those that are not Christ followers, will open a Bible in time of crisis, trial, brokenness, and they'll open the Word of God and they'll start reading the Word of God. But let me show you what a cult does in reading the Word of God. Rather than just simply reading the Word of God, what a cult will do is it will take writings from their leader that has a divine moment that they think this is the truth rather than this is the truth. And what happens is a cult reads the Word of God like this. Rather than reading like this, they read the Word of God through the filter of the author of that cult. And he interprets for the church. He interprets for the followers what the Word of God says. I'll tell you this morning, God's Word is complete. It doesn't need someone else to tell us what it says. God's Word is complete. It speaks to our heart. And although a cult will have some essence of the Word of God, talk about Jesus, talk about heaven, what happens is there are a degree off on truth. Because rather than reading the Word of God, they read it through the filter of someone else. And you ask the question, well, but in a day and age where we're trying to reach lost people for Jesus, is one degree really a big deal? Well, let me illustrate. This morning, if we were to go to Walt Disney World and we were leaving Williamston and we were driving all the way down to Orlando, Florida, and we were just one degree off our course, by the time we would travel those almost 2,000 miles, we would either be in Texas or in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. That's what one degree off will do. Now ask the question, does one degree off matter? The answer is absolutely yes. The Word of God is complete. We must read it for what it is and how it speaks into our lives. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, it says, I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this scroll, the Bible, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. If anyone takes words away from the scroll of the prophecy, God will take away that person any share of the tree of life that is in the holy city, which is described in the scroll. This passage explains that God does not want us to add or subtract. He wants us to take God's word in hand and understand it is complete, for it is complete. The third thing we need to understand, why should we read the Bible? The Bible, or the Word of God, is totally authoritative. It gives us direction. It tells us where we need to be in life's journey. In Psalms 119, verse 89, it says, Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. The Word of God is the only source of absolute divine authority. Now, I'll tell you, at times, God the Holy Spirit will speak to someone and almost give a divine word for someone else. And that would be maybe prophetic, or it might be encouraging. It might be caution. But I will tell you, anytime that you hear the words, "I believe the Lord told us to do blah, 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 blah," and fill in the blank, what you must do is you must go back to the Word of God, for it does confirm what the mouth speaks. I think it's important that we use both the spoken word that is given from someone else, but more importantly, that it's backed with the authoritative word of God. God will give us direction. God will give us the next step. God will give us hope through his word, but we need to understand it's his authoritative word that must be filtered at all situations that we come in life with. The fourth thing, God's word is totally sufficient for all your needs. God's word is totally sufficient for all your needs. Back to our scripture text this morning in 2 Timothy, where it talks about that God's word is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or the person of God will be thoroughly equipped for good work. I will tell you that the word of God is sufficient for all our needs. As Tammy was sharing this morning about our children there in our village at Namango, and she said that they were being fed because we were there. I will tell you that this word that speaks to us and speaks into our lives is very practical. It will tell us to go and partner with things like a village, not only giving them the word of God, giving them the truth, but also providing visions that come along with that by their very daily needs of food and water to care for their bodies. We as Christians can be totally secure in the Lord by studying the Bible, because it has God's plan for our lives. And then finally, the fifth is the Word of God will accomplish what it promises. It will accomplish what it promises. How do I know Jesus will come back for his church someday? Because God's word says it. How do I know one day that I'll stand before the Lord in judgment? Because the word of God says it. How do I know that I get to go to heaven at the end of this journey called life? Because the promise of eternal life is given to me through the precious word of God. My parents just didn't tell me about it. The church didn't tell me about it. The word of God told me, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You see, the word of God will accomplish what it promises for us. We need to believe it. We need to exercise it. We need to live our lives in such a way that we know that the word of God is our guidebook for our life and our journey. There are so many promises given to us in the Bible. These promises reassure us and bring us comfort that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. There's a living hope through Jesus Christ. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. All of this is put in the Word of God for us to know and experience all that God would have us experience as a church. So my challenge to us this morning is a 10-4 challenge. The 10-4 challenge that I want to put us all on this morning is simply this. Read God's word 10 minutes a day, 4 days a week. Couple that by 10 minutes a day, 4 times a week, praying. Now you'll say, "Well, Pastor, I read my Bible at least 10 minutes every day." Good, I celebrate that. But I will tell you this morning, in this crowd of people, there are some that don't crack open their Bible from Sunday to Sunday. And even on Sunday, they don't crack open the Bible. And I would have us challenge ourselves, push ourselves to the 10-4 challenge, because simply this, if we as a church are reading God's word at least 4 times a week, 10 minutes a day, we're praying at least 4 times a week, 10 minutes a day, God is going to show up and do supernatural things through the life of this church. You see all this wonderful thing that's happening in the life of this church? That's because God's people are praying. That's because God's people are reading God's word. And if we all got on the same page and said, "You know what? I'm going to commit to that 10-4 challenge. I'm going to read my Bible at least 4 times a week, 10 minutes a day. I'm going to pray 10 minutes a day, at least 4 times a week. God's going to continue to show up and give us greater opportunities to reach lost people for Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that we entertain the world this week at sports camp. I pray that we have lost children that come in and for the very first time hear the offering of new life through Jesus Christ, and they cross that line of faith. They open their hearts up to Jesus and say, I want to be a Christian. Oh, that is my prayer for us this week, that we'd be a church that is bringing in the harvest this next week as we are planting the seed of God in these young lives. I'll tell you this week, the 10-4 challenge can't come quick enough for us. I challenge each and every one of us to be about that 10-4 challenge. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? God, I pray for us as we move from this series on the Word, that God, that we would not move away, but we'd move to the Word. We'd rush to the Word. We'd rely solely on the Word of God as our guidebook. Oh, Holy Spirit, open our minds, open our hearts as we read your word. Open our minds, open our hearts as we cry out to God. Lord, I pray in a supernatural way, just as you just move through your still small voice, would you move through our obedience to read your word, to bring it to life. Father, we take on that 10-4 challenge, and we say, God, with your help, I commit. I commit to read your word on a regular basis. I commit to pray on a regular basis. I believe, God, that you can move through my life as I get to know more and more about you through your word and through prayer. So, God, I pray for us at church that we be, that you'd have us to be through your word and through the life of this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.